Thank you, Jonga Kandemiri, and good evening, Zimbabwe. You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Thursday, June 23rd, 2016. We'd like to thank you for joining us this Thursday evening live from Washington. I'm Dimyake Mwakalyelye. Here are our top stories this evening. Hundreds of MDCT supporters today marched in protest in Mutare, demanding that President Robert Mugabe address the deteriorating economic situation.
Let us fight with the last drop of our tears. Let us fight with the last drop of our sweat. Enough is enough. Sawana, sawaneli.
Strikes loom as civil servants and government reach a deadlock in negotiations over salary delays. We have the latest.
Apparently, after Minister Chikamaka made the proposal, it became clear that we were not going to accept it because it was brought up in the heat of the moment. We are yet to understand its degree of sincerity and honesty. And we said we can't accept that decision without involving and indulging the membership.
Members of the Occupy Africa Unity Square, who were brutally assaulted by the police, file an urgent application in the High Court seeking to stop the police from barring them from demonstrating.
We are working on strategies of mobilizing, and support has been good, but now we're trying to find a way to demystify fear in people, because you know what it's like with Zimbabweans, they're so filled with fear of the unknown. So we're really trying to capture them, to make them understand that we need to do this collectively as Zimbabweans to achieve the result that we need.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned. Thousands of MDCT supporters today held a protest march at the border town of Mutare without their leader, Morgan Tsvangirai, who is recovering from an undisclosed ailment. But in a statement read on his behalf by his deputy, Tokozani Kupe, Tsvangirai said freedom demonstrations such as the one that took place at the eastern border town would continue until the ZANU-PF leadership, led by President Robert Mugabe, capitulates to national demands from the citizens to address the crippling economy, among a host of other needs. Our correspondent there, Lloyd Moyo, reports.
The peaceful demonstration comprising of about 3,000 protesters started from Sakuva Beto through to the central business district's Migros Park. Traffic came to a visual standstill as the demonstrators braved the nearly 5-kilometer protest march. Ms. Kupe later addressed the gathering at around lunchtime, stating that the protests would be held in some parts of the country after holding others in the capital and in Bulawayo.
Today, as Zimbabwe, we find ourselves in an extraordinary situation. Extraordinary situations require extraordinary measures. We have and we will continue to invoke Section 59 of the Zimbabwe Constitution, which guarantees our right to demonstrate against failures of Mugabe and ZANU-PF.
Oh, yes.
Kupe said citizens have to be prepared to make sacrifices until there is real change that ends ZANU-PF corruption and poverty induced on people through poor governance policies.
Let us fight with the last drop of our tears. Let us fight with the last drop of our sweat. Enough is enough. Sawana, sawaneli. We will continue to demonstrate until Mugabe and ZANU-PF go packing to Zimba. As the MDC, our fundamental promise to the people of Zimbabwe is a better life for all. We hereby, as the MDC, demand that they be changed.
Zimbabweans demand to know the whereabouts of $15 billion in diamond revenue from Chiatswa diamond fields that the ZANU-PF-led government cannot account for. She added that, despite the 2.2 million jobs promised by the ZANU-PF party during its election campaigns in 2013, there's been more unemployment and company closures. Mr. David Tekeshe was among the thousands of demonstrators. He says he supports the democratic path being taken of peaceful protests for regime change.
The president is democratic. He wants democratic means to remove Mugabe and his people. So we applaud him. And I think that's the way forward. We don't want war, but we want to show them democratically, as the president said.
James Mndenda, Mtare resident, says Mr. Tsvangirai's message was very clear to every Zimbabwean who needs political change that benefits every Zimbabwean.
The message was quite clear to every Zimbabwean. It is actually telling the situation on the ground. The message was talking about the closure of industry. The message was talking about the bond notes, which everybody in Zimbabwe is having questions about. The message was talking about Mugabe's promises, thousands and or millions of promises, which have never been realized. So Zimbabweans today were gathered at Mikko's Park to ask Mugabe what he has promised, especially the 2 million jobs, which are not there.
Jobless university graduate Chennai Mangezi from Chipinge says the statement from the MDC leader breathed the lease of life to the dejected citizenry, particularly the youths.
It was a very powerful speech because he needed us as my youth, as youth, for us to be aggressive enough against the Zanu PF government.
The MDC deputy president was accompanied in Mutare by other top party leaders, including Abednego Bebe, Obet Gutu, Purina Mpariwa, Teresa Makoni, Morgan Komichi, Giles Mtsekwa, Douglas Monzora, among other provincial chairpersons from across the country. MDC's Manicaland provincial spokesperson Trevor Sarwaka said the demonstration ended peacefully without any arrests or disturbances. Similar protests have already been made in Harare and Bulawayo. Reporting for Studio 7 in Mutare, this is Lloyd Damoyo.
Some civil servants, workers, representatives have warned that their members may be forced not to report for duty Tuesday next week if a meeting between government ministers and civil servants scheduled for Monday to discuss the delays in their salaries does not yield positive results. This follows a deadlock between the two parties yesterday over the delaying of their pay by more than 2 weeks, owing to what the government says is poor revenue inflows. PTUZ General Secretary Raymond Majongwe says their members, who have been scheduled to receive their June pay next month, will not be able to go to work beginning Tuesday next week if they're not paid this month. David Datsunga, president of the College Lecturers Association of Zimbabwe, said they cannot accept any government explanations with regards to their salaries, adding that they will stick to their demands that government pay them this month. ZIMTA chairperson Richard Gundani said since they are in the middle of discussing the issue, they will only be able to map the way forward after the Monday meeting. In the meeting, the government was represented by Labour Minister Prisca Mfumira, Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa, Health Minister David Parirenyatwa, and Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe Governor John Magunjga, while civil servants were represented by the Apex Council, an amalgamation of civil service labour unions. Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri reached Majongwe for an update on the story.
It came out very clear that the workers refused to budge on these new proposed dates because, one, he said it's not politically correct, it's not legally correct, and in terms of labor relations and harmony, it is not going to be accepted. So we made our position very clear that we are not going to accept our June salaries to be paid in July. And that position is cast in stone. This is why then government then said they want time to consult. And we agreed because the time frame that we then gave is clearly that we are meeting on Monday the 27th at 4:30 at NASA House to discuss and deliberate on what course of action to take there.
We understand that the government also presented a proposal to pay you the June salaries and the July salaries in July. Did you accept this?
Apparently, after Minister Chinamasa made the proposal, it became clear that we were not going to accept it because it was brought up in the heat of the moment. We are yet to understand its degree of sincerity and honesty. And we said we can't accept that decision without involving and indulging the membership. So we are now consulting our members, and if they're going to warm up to the idea and they're acceptable, then we'll come back and tell them. So the consultation of the respective union is underway. But we could not accept that because they would be the same government that says there is no money, on the 23rd of June, get double barrel payment before the 31st of July.
That was Progressive Teachers Union of Zimbabwe General Secretary Raymond Majongwe on the line with Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri from Harare. Five members of the Occupy Africa Unity Square pressure group who were assaulted by the police while demonstrating in central Harare have filed an urgent application in the High Court seeking to interdict the police from barring them from protesting against President Mugabe. Our correspondent Thomas Chiripasi has more details from Harare.
In papers filed with the High Court in Harare today, the applicants are arguing that the police have no right to bar them from protesting in any peaceful manner. One of the applicants, Dirk Frey, tells Studio 7 that the assault of his group's members by the police while demonstrating against President Mugabe was illegal.
Basically, as a result of the events of Monday, where our 5-6 program was concluded by the riot police coming and assaulting us, we have then approached lawyers in order to file an urgent application at the High Court for an interdict against the police from interrupting our programs.
Another applicant, Linda Masarira, says the assault by the cops has actually strengthened their resolve to demonstrate until Mr. Mugabe leaves office. Masarira says the police action was illegal as the national constitution allows freedom of expression and peaceful demonstrations.
It does not deter me. It actually has made me stronger because it shows the level of repression that the state wants to put on the general populace of Zimbabwe, that no one can say anything against this evil regime. But this has made me stronger. I'm now more resolute and more determined in my quest to see a better Zimbabwe.
Masarira's sentiments were echoed by Frey, who insists that their mission is to be accomplished very soon.
As we have been maintaining since we have begun, that we will not let anything disrupt us on a basis of principle, that what we are doing is completely constitutional and we have a right to be doing this, as well as from the point of view that we have not yet achieved our objective. So we will not simply stop in mid-game, so to speak, simply because some misguided people are attempting to intimidate us and hamper our efforts.
Masarira urged Zimbabweans to come out in their numbers and fill the streets to show their anger on Mr. Mugabe's administration.
We are working on strategies of mobilizing, and support has been good, but now we're trying to find a way to demystify fear in people. Because you know what it's like with Zimbabweans, they're so filled with fear of the unknown. So we're really trying to capture them, to make them understand that we need to do this collectively as Zimbabweans to achieve the result that we need.
Other applicants are Pride Mukono, Tatenda Mombearara, and Patson Zamara, who is the brother of missing Occupy Africa Unity Square leader Itai Zamara, who was abducted last year by suspected state agents. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Listen to Studio 7 coming to you live from the Voice of America here in Washington. Coming up, we discuss the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission's failure to honor its mandate of registering voters around the year. Stay tuned. But first, a look at regional and international news. A masked man opened fire at a German cinema complex in the western town near Frankfurt, wounding several people. A man with a gun and ammunition barricaded himself inside Kinopolis movie theater and started to shoot, injuring between 20 and 50 people, according to the local media. Local newspapers have cited the interior minister saying the gunman was shot dead. Doctors Without Borders, or Médecins Sans Frontières, say as many as six people a day are dying at a camp for internally displaced people in the northeastern Nigerian town of Bama. The 24,000 displaced people forced from their homes by the Boko Haram terrorist group living in a catastrophic humanitarian emergency at a hospital compound in the Nigerian town of Bama, according to Doctors Without Borders. A police officer was acquitted Thursday for all charges in connection with the death of Freddie Gray, who died in April 2015 in the back of a police van, sparking the worst riots in decades in the mid-Atlantic city of Baltimore, Maryland. Six officers were indicted in Gray's death, but Officer Caesar Goodson faced the most serious charges, including, quote, depraved heart murder. Goodson was also found not guilty of manslaughter, assault, misconduct, and reckless endangerment. You're listening to Studio 7, coming to you live from the Voice of America in Washington. The Zimbabwe Electoral Commission revealed earlier this week that it was failing to honor its mandate of registering voters around the year in line with the law due to financial limitations. And tonight, opposition parties are firing back, accusing the ruling ZANU-PF party of deliberately compromising the electoral body for its own benefit. Our reporter Ntungamile Nkomo reached People's Democratic Party official Edward Ndlovu and MDCT deputy spokesperson Tabita Kumalo for perspective. Honorable Kumalo kicks off the discussion.
Surely this country is money. So the excuse that is being used by Zeke and Makarau that they have no money is a fallacy, it's a lie, it's not true. It is a way for ZANU-PF to try and rig these elections, because we are all aware that Zeke is an appendage of ZANU-PF. What they are basically doing, they are already rigging the elections for 2018, because they are making sure that the people that they perceive to go and register and vote as voters will support the opposition. So what they are now doing is they are making it an effort to make sure that their own people who are ZANU-PF bootlickers are being taken to registrar's offices, being led by one of their political leaders, to make sure that the people that they perceive that are non-ZANU-PF should not register as voters.
Mr. Ndlovu, your take.
I agree with the Honorable Kumalo that Zeke, through Rita Makarau, is lying. They have got enough resources really to embark on a massive registration exercise for voters. We know very well that they work under the instruction of a partisan political party, which is ZANU-PF, and they are doing that to please their master, which is ZANU-PF. They know that the people who intend to register now definitely will not be belonging to ZANU-PF, will not vote for ZANU-PF, but most of the new voters definitely are the youth who would want to vote for the first time, who would want to vote for change. Hence, Zeke is denying them that opportunity. And secondly, since Zeke is working under ZANU-PF, they will only start registering people when ZANU-PF instructs their members and their supporters to drive and force people to go and register. That is when we'll see Zeke taking the lead registering people. But for now, they know that those who want to register belong to the opposition. They are working they will vote for the opposition. So we are very, very much worried about that, because Zeke is supposed to be, non-partisan is supposed to register each and every Zimbabwean to vote for the political party of its choice, not
Honorable Kumalo, given the political diversity in Zimbabwe, I would like to believe that there are also ZANU-PF supporters who want to register. Why then would ZANU-PF deliberately scuttle this process when its members are also wanting to register?
The bottom line is that its members, ZANU-PF members, are not complaining of failure to register. Their members are being registered. So all what ZANU-PF is doing is to make sure that those that they perceive to be anti-ZANU should not register. So if Makarao and ZANU-PF and the government of looters of this country are saying they have no money for people to register. Then what we should do, which is the most noble thing to do, is to make sure that everybody must go and vote using their identity cards. It was done in 1980. It can be done again in 2018.
Mr. Ndlovu, what are you doing as a party to push for electoral reforms?
Yes, as a political party, as a People's Democratic Party, we are trying to engage through the chairperson, Rita Makarao, really to allow citizens of Zimbabwe to register as voters. But we know that we will hit a brick wall because ZEC is partisan. ZEC is a tool used by ZANU-PF to manipulate elections. So we know that nothing will change. Nothing much really will change positively. But nevertheless, we are trying as a political party to engage them to try to drive sense into their heads that the people of Zimbabwe deserve to be registered as voters. Also, it's been saying, if they are failing to cope since they allege that they don't have resources, then let's allow citizens of Zimbabwe to vote using their national identity cards rather than registering them when we know that they just register people through partisan lines. They register those who will be transported by ZANU-PF, their members, transported from one city to another to register. But when it comes to a noble national registration exercise, they cry foul and say they don't have resources. So we are inviting them. We know they will not listen because they are working for ZANU-PF. They won't listen. But the best for us as a nation now is for all opposition parties to unite and present one presidential candidate in 2018 so that we defeat ZANU-PF hands down. Time really for political parties to go it alone. I think they have given ZANU-PF for a long time to misrule Zimbabwe. Our time now to work together as opposition parties, even if they try to rig the election through ZEC, we have to vote in numbers against the ZANU-PF regime.
MDCT Deputy Spokesperson, excuse me, actually, that was People's Democratic Party official Edward Ndlovu. You also heard earlier from MDCT Deputy Spokesperson Tabitha Kumalo on the line, and both were speaking with Studio 7's Ntungamile Nkomo. You're listening to Studio 7 live from Washington. To sports now, the National Football Association of Zimbabwe, NFAZ President Philip Chiangwa, told lawmakers today that his board has decided to dissolve the Zimbabwe Football Association, or ZIFA, because it was insolvent and could not pay its workers and creditors, as well as carry out its mandate. Chiangwa said they filed for bankruptcy and will not pay creditors or anyone owed by ZIFA, adding that they were taking the necessary legal steps to move away from ZIFA affairs. Ivan Shifera has the details from Harare.
Giving evidence during an inquiry by Parliamentary Sports and Arts Committee into the dissolution of ZIFA and formation of NFAZ, Chiangwa said his board had to take a brutal decision to dissolve ZIFA because it was insolvent and could not operate owing to creditors knocking at the association's door, property being attached, and funds being garnished at the bank. He said ZIFA was unable to pay and won't pay, and NFAZ won't pay either. NFAZ legal advisor Itai Ntuzo weighed in, saying ZIFA's insolvency was qualified by ZIFA's accountants at that time, Bekatile and Gwatidzo. He said it did not make sense to proceed with ZIFA with the full knowledge that it could not pay its creditors and service providers. Ntuzo said it was in that context that a decision to dissolve ZIFA was taken at its extraordinary congress on 4 June and form NFAZ. He said at the meeting, NFAZ resolved not to simply walk away from the ZIFA debts, but to properly manage the debtors and creditors in a legal manner. According to Ntuzo, this is why an application for the sequestration of ZIFA was made. The High Court is yet to make a decision on the matter.
You would also be aware that even those who were owing and who were owed by the deceased also have their forum at the burial place. But at no point in time must we conflate or confuse the burial from the death.
ZIFA was kicked out of the 2018 FIFA World Cup for failing to pay former national team coach José Claudino Jorginho of Brazil. Chiangwa told lawmakers the transition from ZIFA to NFAZ was good and it was yielding results as the national football team and the women's soccer team have qualified for the African Nations Cup and Rio Olympics respectively. But lawmakers asked him why the NFAZ was getting funding from businessmen like Wicknell Chivayo, an ex-convict who has also been implicated in fraudulent deals at another state enterprise, ZESA. But Chiangwa said he did not care who gave the association money as long as it was meant for promoting football.
It is better that I got results from that money. Whatever you are saying, this money that he gave me, I've never heard that he defrauded somebody.
Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan.
And still in sports, the Zimbabwe national cricket team house is on fire with no fireman in sight to douse the flames. Our reporter Michael Kariati tells us why.
The 3-0 ODI series whitewash and the T20 loss at the hands of India has set the Zimbabwe national cricket team house on fire, with cricket followers from all the four corners of the country calling for the chevrons to be disbanded. Although the chevrons put up a spirited performance in the final T20 game yesterday before losing by a narrow 3 runs, followers of the game say a loss is a loss, how narrow it is. Spectators at Harare Sports Club are getting fewer and fewer as the fans cannot stomach the humiliation that is going on day in and day out, with ardent sports follower Farai Kambamura saying he will not set his foot at Harare Sports Club again unless results start coming.
I am a very disappointed man. They will never see me again at Harare Sports Club. I cannot waste my time going there. These guys are a huge disappointment to the nation.
Kambamura believes if Zimbabwe are to find their way back to the top, Zimbabwe cricket should disband the entire current team and its coaches and build a new team altogether, starting from the foundation.
We need a complete overhaul of the whole team. What is happening here, we've got old horses in the team. I think we have to inject new blood from the technical staff to the players. I think it's a waste of time keeping the team that is the current team. We need young, energetic players here.
There is another section of the Zimbabwe cricket community who feel that Zimbabwe no longer deserve their test status, nor to play with associate teams, but should be relegated to play in the Africa zone with the likes of Kenya, Tanzania and Namibia. While defeat is part of the game, it is the margins of the losses, such as by 8, 9 and 10 wickets, which has riled the followers of the game, with Liberty Msodzi saying the chevrons should learn to lose with respectability. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Kariati.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk, where Women's Roundtable at 8:30 p.m. and our hosts Praxedes Jeremiah and Marvelous Mtlanga Nyahuye will discuss with you and the listeners about the role diaspora has played in the breakdown or cementing of the family structure. To join this conversation this evening, please call us at 001-202-619-2077. That number again is 001-202-619-2077. Or send us a message or number on our WhatsApp 001-202-465-0318. That number again, 001-202-465-0318. And you can also remember to tune into, or rather watch us on Facebook, because we'll be streaming there live. Before we go, a quick recap of our top stories today. Hundreds of MDCT supporters today marched in protest in Mutare, demanding that President Robert Mugabe address the deteriorating economic situation in the country. Strikes loom as civil servants and government reach a deadlock in negotiations over salary delays. And members of the Occupy Africa Unity Square, who were brutally assaulted by the police, filed an urgent application in the High Court seeking to interdict the police from barring them from demonstrating. And that's our broadcast this evening. Thank you, as always, for tuning in. Please stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele, hosted by Ntungamile Nkomo. I'm Dimyake Mokadielye here in Washington, wishing you a very pleasant evening and a very, very good night.